Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And we're coming in hot today, people. I'm well rested, back from vacation, had a phenomenal time in Chelan, but I'm back at it. And there's plenty to talk about. Also have a new deep dive segment coming out today that I just finished recording with Brent Johnson. On the U.S. dollar and the importance of being a fiduciary. You guys aren't going to want to miss that. Now, remember, with the deep dive segments, we don't air them on the show. And the reason we don't air them on the show is there's other things to talk about on the show, but we want to stay true to the true purpose and the original purpose for the show, the original, you know, meaning behind the show, which was I believed when we started the show that there was a real thirst for actual financial and economic data that isn't tainted or isn't biased or isn't some charlatan talking out of school. And I wanted to be able to take the really complex and esoteric world of finance and break it down so the average guy could digest it. And I want to do that for a couple reasons. A, I wanted to show people that these finance people aren't nearly as smart as they think they are. And they're not as smart as most of you think they are. They just are very good at using vernacular, right? They're very good at using buzzwords. And if we can take those buzzwords out of it, I think we can make this thing a lot more digestible. The other side of it, the reason they use buzzwords, because a lot of these experts don't really know what they're talking about, right? It's complexity. There's another line in there which I kind of stole, and you guys have probably heard me say this before, but certainty is the hallmark of the charlatan. The original line, I kind of did my own thing with that line, but the original line was not certainty is the hallmark of the charlatan, right? Oh, shoot. Now I'm forgetting about it. Now I got to look it up. I get going on a topic and I completely whiffed. But and that original quote, after I pulled it up there, is that complexity is the hallmark of the charlatan. Now, I think both are equally true. And I know both to be equally true, but you guys have often heard this. Twain has had several quotes on this. But the evidence of knowledge and the evidence of expertise is the ability to make something very abbreviated and very simple. And that was the point of this show. Not saying that I know everything, but unlike other people, if I don't know, I'll just tell you I don't know. And that's the other thing about the show. One of the reasons I like to do the show, too, is so I can learn. Right? Because surprise, surprise, if you have a platform, other people that are really smart that otherwise probably wouldn't talk to you are more than happy to advertise themselves and their brand and come on and speak with you. Now, I think we've gotten to a point now where we've developed friendships and relationships with a lot of these people, and they gladly come on just to chat. But that was the other side of it, is I'm trying to learn too. And if we're still learning, we have to acknowledge that we don't know everything. And I think that's one of the scariest things about markets right now. And I think it's one of the scary things, one of the deleterious impacts of social media, is that you're able to go out there and align yourself with whatever thinking you want. And what do people want, especially in times like this? They want answers. But most importantly, they want certainty. And say they go to the places where the smart guy that knows what's going to happen will tell them. The problem is it's an intellectual pacifier. Because that guy doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. Kind of reminds me of all these guys that sell newsletters. Have there been some good newsletters? Yeah. As far as investing goes, yeah, there have been. Are there good ones now? Yes. The one thing you should keep in mind, however, is if that person was so good at investing, what are they selling newsletters for? Right? Newsletters don't pay as well as money managing. I can tell you that. My grandfather was a long-term writer of actually a very good newsletter. Right. So what are they doing? Well, the fact that they're writing a newsletter and asking for you to pay them for that should be an indication that they're not the best money manager. Now, for the most part, like I said, there's exceptions to every rule, but in general, I think that's a pretty good base to start from, right? And anyway, so we really wanted to take the noise out of it, right? And but in an effort to do that, we had several people, and I'm kind of rambling again, but we had several listeners say, hey, we'd like to hear you go unchained, you know, go off the cuff, talk it like it is. So that's what we're doing in our deep dive segment, and Brent joins us today. And again, it's not part of the show just because I don't want it to be unrelatable to people. But if you want to listen to that, download and subscribe the podcast. Just go to knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, Google Know Your Risk Radio. Follow me on @KYR Radio on Twitter. I post our shows. I post the deep dive segments on there. You can get them there. The other thing is too, guys, obviously we appreciate you listening to the radio show. I just think it's a lot easier rather than trying to time it and catch the show from noon to one on Saturdays, or what is it, 9 to 10, I think, 8 to 9 in Portland. Rather than trying to catch it on the show, I mean, it's just nice. You can listen to whatever you want. So anyway, I digress. But let's get into the market update. So what has happened? We still don't really have an answer, although I will say, like I was telling you last week, if we continue this move up, it looks really bullish. When I look at these charts, you've got all the indexes at record highs. It looks like you're going a lot higher. Yet volumes still tend to be really light. For me to feel really comfortable that we're ready to advance, I'd like to see a good first week of September, maybe the first 2 weeks of September up. Volumes will absolutely pick up in the first 2 weeks of September. So I think we'll know a lot more then. What it looks like right now is not, that knife fight is still going. Today is a good example. Russell is down the most out of any of the indexes, 0.69. NASDAQ is up the most, 0.13. Now, recently, especially over the last week and a half, the Russell came roaring back and really cut the NASDAQ up in terms of that knife fight. To me, it really looks, even last week, remember I was telling you, it's kind of a dead heat. This week, looking at the action, looking at uranium markets, you guys have heard us talking about uranium a long time. Look at the move in uranium over the last week and a half. Holy smokes. Today, I'm looking at a couple of our holdings. One is up 5% on the day. One of our other uranium holders is up 2.5%. One of the other ones up 4.5%. The fund that we own is up 6%. Uranium is rocking. And again, most of those uranium stocks haven't broken out to new all-time highs. They're right by it. But the same goes for a lot of the tech names. You got Apple at new all-time highs, but very tepid. You know, it's not running away. You got Amazon off. You got a lot of things floating right at these breakout levels, but nothing's breaking away, right? We're still in that range. Like I said, I think the first 2 weeks of September are really going to tell us a lot more. Guys, I'm still very much on the value camp too. I just keep going back to that and the resource side of it, because I think that's where all the opportunity is. Shoot, Peabody Energy, we've been talking about that one for a long time. Bought it at 380. We're now at 1750. There's just a lot of, and that's kind of the thing about people listen to the show and they think that I'm anti-tech and I'm anti, we're not. We own several, we've talked about that. We own tech. We focus on the cheaper ones, the ones whose valuation I can get my head around, but we own some tech. My hunch is still that tech will continue to probably advance. I would suspect it to continue to underperform the commodities. And the values, just again, going back to the valuation spreads, it's just too large. And I really think some of the, we've talked about Camping World before. They just doubled the dividend. The stock still hasn't even responded. They're going to pay you 5.2% at these prices. The company's trading at a 7 price to earnings ratio. It's incredible. I mean, they've had two blowout quarters. They've doubled their dividend. They've crushed their debt on their balance sheet. They are opening up new business lines. The stock can't get out of its own way. But you look at it and the volumes are pathetic. And that's the other thing, I think. I think a lot of this volatility that you're seeing in these lesser owned names like a Camping World or a BTU or, a lot of the stuff that we're interested in right now, I think it's getting whipsawed by ETFs. I think that's what the issue is. And I think that's why you see some of these this unbelievable amount of volatility in some of these small energy names specifically. I think that you've got these small stocks that are thinly traded because everybody's, you know, going after the AMCs and the tech and all that kind of stuff, all the sexy stuff. And I think people are buying, selling those ETFs. And when they do, I think some of those less liquid names are just getting whipsawed around. The price really has no bearing on the individual company. That it is just kind of a flow order scenario where you know, if you sell an ETF, that company that runs that ETF has to sell everything indiscriminately in that. You know, if you own $100,000 of SPY and you put a sell order, that ETF company is forced to sell $100,000 of all the holdings in the S&P 500. So it indiscriminately sells all the names, the good with the bad. And that's what I think is really swinging things right now. There really isn't a lot to talk about in terms of the markets outside of the bounce back in commodities. I mean, that it looked like we were ready for a swoon. I was talking about that last week, and then those things just roared back. We got to see if it carries through and brings breakouts and brings new all-time highs, because that would be the ultimate confirmation that this stuff is breaking out for another leg. But boy, I'll tell you, it looks strong. Still much stronger than we see on any of the other indexes, tech included. I mean, that dip got bought hard and got bought fast. So until we see it give that up, I'm still leaning very much to that side. And like I said, the other part of it is just the opportunities and the valuations and the cheapness of it all. It's pretty compelling. So let's move a little bit to the other. Well, you know what? I think this is a good time to take a break. Like I said, I want to get in some other topics, but as far as markets go right now, I just don't see there being a lot of, we just still don't know. We're still going to have to wait and see. We got to wait to see volumes come back. We got to see people come back from the Hamptons. We got to see people get back in their offices. I think we're going to know a lot more about the trajectory of the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, my guess would be, I think we'll know what the trajectory of the rest of the world is by the end of September. That would be my guess. I definitely think in the next 2 weeks, you'll see us break out of this knife fight rainstorm. We'll figure out who the real leader is. Again, I'm very much in the camp that I think that tech is going to continue to underperform through the end of the year and probably for longer than that, which means I think the NASDAQ will be one of the underperforming indexes. I think that your commodity side of it, your value side of it, your small and mid caps, I think they're going to continue to rally. I just think that's where the heat is. So anyway, as always, guys, if you are compelled by what we're talking about, if you think that there is a need for active management, if you want to know that somebody is actively watching your portfolio and adjusting when things come down the pipe and adjusting when we see a COVID-19 coming and putting protection, things that go up when the stock market goes down, you know, when the time is, if you understand that, if you think we're in a precarious world and you want a higher level of thought put into your portfolio other than just own the S&P 500 and buy stocks and don't sell them. Now, I think, obviously I'm biased, but I think that should be what you want. You, as always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Just figure out how we're doing it. Just call and get the Common Sense Investment Booklet. Just call and talk to me or one of our other advisors. It's not a trick. It's not a trap. We show you what we do, how we do it, what it costs, build you a sample portfolio and say, here you go. Let us know if you want to be a client. That's it. And what I'm telling you is, what if what we're saying is true? And it is. But what if what we're saying is true? What if we're not just a voice on the radio? What if we really can drastically increase your upside, drastically reduce your downside, and cut your fees in the process? Make more money, take less risk, pay less money for it. Guys, that's investing. We got a better mousetrap. Give us a call. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk virtual roadshow Thursday, September 30th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement with the firm's licensed stock business. Borrow Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Now, this is a little, I feel like everything is going to be kind of an extension of the market update today, but this is a little kind of a preface, a little bit of market update action, but also kind of a preface for our deep dive interview we do today. Now, as I stated before, I realize that the deep dive is not going to be on the radio show, but I would encourage you all to listen to it because it's, in my opinion, the most important topic, talking about the U.S. dollar, inflation or deflation. And we could do it with a good old friend of the show and a friend of mine, Brent Johnson. Great guy. He's done a ton of work on this. He's been on the show several times. And we want to do a deep dive with Brent. And the reason I really wanted to do a deep dive with Brent is because this is such a contentious topic where people have such strongly held beliefs. And I don't want those people to think that I'm a Pollyanna or that I don't care about the budget or I don't care about the debt. For those of you that have been listening to this show for a while, you know that that could not be further from the truth. Of course, this level of spending is unsustainable. Of course, the outcome of our debt scenario is inevitable. Right? But inevitability can take a really long time. And an example of that is if you look at Japan. And we've talked about this before. Japan is in a lot worse shape in terms of their debt and stuff like that than we are. Now, there's some intricacies involved with Japan that are unlike us. So it's not a perfect similarity. It's not exactly the same. Very, very few things typically are. But what it is it should be a warning. Because as bad as Japan's situation is, and it's been bad for a very long time, understandably so, a lot of people felt about the yen the way that they feel about the dollar now. And many times over the last really 32 years, those beliefs about the instability or the inevitability of Japan's outcome have prompted a lot of people to short the yen to the tune where that trade is now referred to as the widowmaker. When you say the widowmaker, there have been other trades that have been given that same moniker, but when you say the widowmaker in this line of business, money managers with some time under their belt naturally assume you're talking about shorting the yen. And so my point to all that is that, yes, of course it's inevitable. But inevitable and imminent are two different things. And you know the old saying that you can stay, or the market can stay irrational a lot longer than you can stay solvent. Again, where did that quote come from? It came from experience. And I'll give you another example. It happened to a lot of guys on the short real estate trade back in the financial crisis. They didn't make the movie about the guys that started shorting subprime in 2004 and 2005 and went broke by the time it actually blew up. You know, so those people are saying you can't time everything perfectly. They're right. But unfortunately, there's some big scenarios that you have no other choice but to get the timing right or you're going to get pounded. And I think this dollar trade is very similar. And I understand why people are so hyperbolic about the dollar collapsing and all that other kind of stuff. And eventually they're going to be proven right, but it ain't happening anytime soon. Hyperinflation is not right around the corner. And it has nothing to do with the profligacy of the United States government. It's insane what they're doing. It has to do with the system. And we did that deep dive U.S. dollar segment trying to express that same thing. But I just want to revisit it and make sure everybody knows that, guys, I'm not saying it's not an issue. I'm saying that you have to look at the plumbing of the system. You have to understand the way that dollars actually move around the world and what really drives their prices and what the Federal Reserve has. I still hear people running around talking about China selling our debt. I get it. We shouldn't own the debt that we got, but if China wanted to dump all of our debt tomorrow, it would make no impact. The Fed would just step in and buy it. Like, well, that's going to make inflation go. The Fed can't afford. That's what people were saying when we hit 100% debt to GDP. We're now at 150. You're telling me the $1 trillion that they'd buy a Japanese debt's the one thing that's going to blow it all up? Based on what? Of course it's not. Again, it's insane what they're doing. But being insane and irresponsible do not guarantee a bad outcome at a certain time. Right? If you get on heroin, I can make you a bet that it's not going to end well for you. I have no clue whether you're going to be a smack junkie for the next 20 years or you're going to OD in 6 months. That doesn't mean you should go out and buy heroin. Right? So unfortunately, guys, these things are not that simple. And if they were, Brent brought up a really good point in our interview that you guys can listen to it and you can hear it for yourself. But the point he brought up was if all of that was true, if more dollars being printed equals lower, going into the financial crisis, we were what, 60% debt to GDP or whatever? We thought that was crazy at the time. We're now at 150. Prior to the financial crisis, the dollar index was like at the high 70s, low 80s. Today, it's at 93. So we've taken our debt from 60% of GDP to 150, and the dollar's up 25%. Anyway, we got to leave it right there, guys. Out of time. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com and you'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, so this is going to be kind of a market update 2.0. Gonna be kind of a potpourri segment. Gonna jump around to a couple things I think are topical, but not necessarily market update type stuff. Like I said, I think the market has been fascinating lately, but there's just not a lot to talk about because the same characteristics that we've been talking about literally for the last 2, 3, 4 months now, they're still very much in play. And at this point, it actually looks like everything's gonna break out. But like I said, I got to see the confirmation on the volumes and see where we're at the end of September. Anyway, wanted to get into a couple things. Wanted to revisit annuities. Now, for those of you that have not heard me talk about this before, or our listeners in Portland who are much newer to the show, for 10, 11 years, actually, yeah, about 2011, we really started to look at the world and look at 0% interest rates and just said, look, you know, stock market's its own animal, but the number one thing that we got to do is we got to figure out something else to do with our clients' money other than sticking it in bonds. And for a couple reasons. A, you had record low interest rates, right? So you were getting paid less in bonds than you've ever been paid. Also, interest rates were, you know, record lows. So at some point, interest rates got to go up. And when interest rates go up, bonds lose money. I kind of felt like that was a pretty simple investment thesis. And after searching for replacements, we ended up in the place that we least likely thought we would, which was in the insurance world. Found some really compelling insurance products that were infinitely safer than bonds and paid 2 to 3 times more and didn't have a fee and went up in inflationary environments. It literally fixed every single one of the bond problems. And ironically enough, that is the part of the portfolio that has been by far and away the most controversial. I've heard a lot of bad things said about me from people at other firms who I've never met. Now, I've got no idea who they are. Oh, yeah, that guy's an annuity shop. He's just pitching annuities. And sitting there going, no, I'm just not, going to charge my clients a point and a half to manage something that's making two. And that loses money when interest rates are going up. And oh, by the way, interest rates are currently at zero. But that makes me an annuity shop, right? Well, as we believed would be the case, it's been really funny over the last 2 to 3 years because the horrific investment that bonds are, that has become much more widely known and widely accepted. And as a matter of fact, there was a recent article that came out by the head chief investment officer at AllianceBernstein talking about how he thought certain types of annuities and insurance products could be really good bond replacements. Then we saw BlackRock, one of the preeminent money managers in the world, about 3 years ago buy a 25% stake in a fixed indexed annuity originating company. Paid a big dollar amount for it. Right. Then we had Wall Street Journal come out with an article. Guys, we've been on the radio talking to you about these products as bond replacements for 6 years. And we also told you that everybody else would eventually come around. And we knew that annuity was a scary word. And guess what's happening? Everybody's coming around. Were we clairvoyant? Nope. Psychic? Nope. Why did we know that? Because it was a need necessity type scenario. We knew it was only a matter of time until people woke up to how horrific bonds are as an investment proposition at this moment in time and how much better the fixed indexed annuity is, especially the kind that we use that has no cap, no fee. Because at the end of the day, guys, it doesn't matter what the investment is called. It matters what it does. And there's a risk, and this is where the importance of risk management comes in. A client of mine, great guy, love him, not knocking on him at all. But we had a conversation yesterday, and he'd moved part of his portfolio to us, but not all of it. And we were talking about the other part of it, and I just said, look, this way you got to get out of this stuff. It doesn't make any sense. I go, you're sitting in that bond fund. What are you making? 1.5%, 2%? Why? And he goes, no, I'm making 6%. And I go, no, you're not. And he goes, yeah, no, I am. And I go, no, you're not. And he goes, no, I. So we pull it up. And I go, there's no way that thing's making more than 3.8%. Well, we were both wrong. Again, I can be wrong. It was paying 4.9. But we pull it up and it's high yield. It's junk bonds. And I looked at him, okay, I go, this is a perfect example. I go, you're making 4.9. In the last 12 months, our fixed indexed annuities are up between 9 and 13%. Guaranteed against loss with no fee. You're buying high yield bonds and you're taking a 4.9% yield on it. And those high yield bonds were down 35% last March. You're taking equity risk for 4.9% when you can make 5 to 6 paying nothing in fees and be insured against loss. It's asinine. And that's what I mean by risk management. And that conversation I had with my own client is really what fired me up about this and made me want to talk about it again on the show. Because if my own client is saying that, evidently I have not done a good enough job explaining this. And guys, this is the part of investing that nobody talks about and yet is really by far and away the most important part. Which is the risk management side of it and what risk management means. It doesn't mean that we don't take any risk. It means that every unit of risk we are taking, we need to be getting an amount of return that makes that risk make sense. Otherwise, we're just rolling the dice. Think about that. Why would you take the risk of a high-yield bond fund to make 4.9% before fees? When you could buy a no cap, no fee fixed indexed annuity insured against loss that's averaging 5.5 to 6.5. It makes no sense. And let me take it a step further. It's only a matter of you will come to that conclusion, whether or not it's by listening to me or somebody else or by feeling the pain. But rest assured, you will come to that conclusion. You should have come to it last March. Because what else have we been saying? Go ask your financial advisor, why do I own bonds? He's going to tell you, well, for income, you know, that's what it. And then also, you know, it's to diversify your portfolio because bonds go up when stocks go down. Do they? They haven't for 13 years. Your bond portfolio was down 2/3 as much as your equity portfolio last March. Well, that was a one-off. No, it wasn't. Go back and look at 2018. Go back and look at the end of 2015, 2016. Go back and look at the Europe debt crisis in 2011. It's not, guys. Every single time the market goes down since the financial crisis, bonds go with it. Why is that? Because rates are a zero. They can't cut them anymore. Now, then the Fed stepped in and started buying corporates, and that pushed the value back up. But my whole point is saying, for bonds to make any sense, for bonds not to lose you a lot of money, you will need constant government intervention. And even then, in the terms of inflation, you're still going to lose. That's the other thing I told that client of mine. I go, okay, let's put aside the fact that the annuity has beat it. The annuity is cheaper. It's infinitely more safe. Let's put all that aside. You own an investment that is paying 4.9 before fees, so probably more like 4. With inflation at 5.1, and you're taking equity risk. Like, just think about that. The cap on how much I can make is set at 4. Inflation's at over 5. And I can lose 35%. I mean, that's not a sales pitch. Why is anybody in this crap? It's just crazy to me. And then they'll tell you, well, yeah, but your annuities have got surrender charges, man. My bonds are liquid. Were they liquid last March? If you wanted to sell your bond portfolio last March, which a lot of people did because they panicked, you took a 20% hit. The annuity's biggest surrender charge in year one is 9%, and then every year you own it, it goes down by 1%. Again, that's why you're not buying the annuity? Last March, you could have canceled out of the annuity after owning it for less than a year, paid a 9% penalty. It'd have cost you 22% to get out of your bond fund. Guys, we don't talk about annuities because we're trying to sell them. We don't talk about annuities because I'm trying to get people to listen to the radio show. And the proof in that is the toxicity around the word. If I was just trying to get better ratings or be a financial media star, or trying to sell annuities, there's much better ways to do it. First of all, if you listen to people that are trying to sell annuities, they never say the word. Right?
I've got a way where my clients have never lost money and yet go up when the market goes up.
He's talking about an annuity. And all the things he's saying are true. It's not in the right light, I don't think, because those people are advocating the fixed indexed annuity as a portfolio replacement. It shouldn't be. It should be a bond replacement. We've said that 100 times. It's insured against loss. And it's not going to average 11 or 12%. It's not what it is. It's not a get-rich investment. It's a stay-rich investment. It's a part of your investment that you know is going to motor along at 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5% a year. It's never going to cost you anything. And you know no matter what happens, the money will be there. It's kind of what you want out of your bond portfolio. Just make three times as much with none of the fear and none of the expense. And I sit out there and I get perplexed when I'm having this conversation on the air, because I know so many of you listening are loaded up with this garbage. I know that a lot of you listening that agree with me are still loaded up with this garbage. Guys, act now. Don't wait till it hurts. And in the meantime, you'll make more money. I'm not telling you the world's going to collapse and you got to bet against the stock market and you got to hold on, right? I'm not prognosticating and like, if I'm wrong, you're going to lose money. You're going to be better off regardless of what happens. Regardless, you're going to pay less in fees. You're going to make more money than you would in bonds. You're taking infinitely less risk. It just makes sense. And you're going to make more money.
I just don't like annuities. Why do you guys use them?
Because they work if used properly. I don't care what an investment's called. What does it do? You know, it's like a CD. If you could buy a 6% CD right now, would you own any bonds? That's what I'm offering. It's a market-linked CD that's insured against loss with no expense. And I'm glad these other places are coming out and saying these things, like AllianceBernstein and, you know, Roger Ibbotson that we had on the show and Wall Street Journal. I'm glad they're waking up to it. At the same time, it irritates me because I'm sitting there going, hey, guys, all the things that you say were true 9 years ago, where was your advice then? How much have your people listening to you left on the table because you weren't saying this 9 years ago and you should have been? Nothing's changed. I mean, yields have gone even lower, so it's even more abundantly clear now that it's a bad investment. But guys, there's a better way. There's just a much better way to do this. And I'm not saying it's a perfect way. Just risk management works. Yeah, I look at our portfolios. We've had a big bounce back in the value portfolio. I think it's up 38% year to date. Even our momentum portfolio's had a really nice bounce back. It's up 15% year to date. We've killed the market over the last couple of years. And our average client was down 5.5% last March. And it's not because we're ingenious. It's just because we've got a better portfolio structure that's got lower risk. And we've got some really cool stock portfolios. It's going over the performance of that algorithm. Holy smokes. I mean, value's done really well, too. I think value since last January. Well, I think the market's up. Let's see. What are you up? 16, 15. Market's up like 36% since last January 1, something like that. 40. Value portfolio's up 48, something like that. Momentum portfolio is up even more than that. Or no, it's right around 49.50. Yeah. But I just think this dollar thing is so important. Yes, guys, of course it's inevitable. This is unsustainable. The chickens will come home to roost. But bottom line is you just don't know if it's 20 years from now or 30 years from now. More importantly, you also need to understand, and hopefully this is why you do the show. If you think inflation's on the way, that's not a reason to sell stocks. It's a reason to own them. Best performing market in the world over the last 5, 6, 7 years has been Venezuela. So stocks may not be the best way to protect yourself from the inflation, but they're one of the ways. And people are like, no, it's not as good as gold. Sometimes that has been true. Sometimes it hasn't. Think of the Great Depression. Gold didn't really do you a lot of good then. I mean, it did, but then they made it illegal to own it. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't own gold. The bottom line is that in inflationary environments, you just don't know what's going to play out. You don't know which asset is going to rally the most. There isn't this rule in the universe that silver and gold have to make you rich when inflation hits. There isn't that deal. What if it's lumber, for God's sake? What if it's natural gas? What if it's uranium? This is the whole point, and this is the thing I'm trying to get people around. And this gets me back to the very baseline of why we do things the way we do them. You're out there right now sitting in your 60-40 standard portfolio, and whether you know it or not, that's a binary outcome portfolio, meaning it will work for you or it won't. It's that simple. And it hasn't been working for 20 years, despite what your advisor says, and here, I'll give you a good example why it's not working. Net of fees, the average return on a 60-40 portfolio for the last 20 years, net of fees is right around 5%. Guys, the CPI, inflation is running higher than that. So you're paying some jabroni a percent and a half a year to manage a portfolio that is underperforming inflation. And it was down 22% last March. Wake up. The stuff that I'm telling you is not opinion. I'll tell you when I'm giving you opinion. The stuff I'm telling you is just truth. It's just facts. And furthermore, that portfolio is making a one-way bet. It's betting that stocks and bonds will continue to rise, even though that's impossible as it relates to bonds. And oh, by the way, I'm not predicting the failure of that portfolio. It's failed. For 20 years, it's failed. And yet everybody's still in it. And if you're sitting at home waiting for your advisor to change, he's not going to. You know why? Because you haven't left yet. What do most people do? They change at the realization of pain, not the anticipation of pain. Advisors are the same way. They're not going to change until clients leave. And that's kind of what's shocking me, that they haven't changed. There's so many of these guys haven't changed the way they're doing things, because I can just tell you from the growth of our firm, a lot of clients are looking for alternatives and they're going to lose them. The problem is you're going to finally leave when you realize what I'm telling you. The outcome of that is certain. That portfolio is going to fail. It has failed. It's failing now in every way. It hasn't lived up. Remember, that portfolio became so popular from 1980 to 2000 because for a 20-year period of time, you averaged 12.5% and you never lost more than 13.5%. You've lost more than 25 three times now in the last 20 years. So not only has the performance been garbage, but it hasn't even kept you safe. You'd have literally been better off being substantially better off being in U.S. Treasuries, paying nobody any management fee for the last 20 years. If you would have been better off owning Treasuries for the last 20 years, then what in the world are you paying the advisor for? You've got a 20-year test run. Yeah, come pay me 1.5% to guarantee your retirement. But oh, by the way, the portfolio I'm going to put you in has underperformed U.S. government bonds for 20 years. If I sound fired up and animated about this, I am, because it's your life. For a lot of you, we're talking about the lifeblood of your family, not just your life, but the generations to come. And you're in a portfolio where the outcome is certain. Again, it's like the U.S. dollar. We don't know when it's going to collapse, but it will. The only difference is the U.S. dollar has performed surprisingly well over the last 20 years. The 60-40 portfolio hasn't. The 70-30 portfolio hasn't. These models are desperately broken, and they're going to stay broken because the world has changed. And if you're like, well, that's true. How doesn't Goldman Sachs know it? They do know it. But they've built an entire business, right? Morgan Stanley, they built entire businesses, invested billions of dollars of preaching a message to you They're not just going to burn that investment and all of a sudden pivot. That's not what they're there for. Their job is to sell stocks and bonds. So don't be surprised when you don't get the best portfolio. You're going to get what they sell. And it doesn't make them evil. They tell you that's what they sell. They don't make any bones about it, to their credit. Those firms are honest. Their job isn't to give you the best risk-adjusted returns. Their job is to give you a portfolio of stocks and bonds. And we believe that there's a much better way to do it. Furthermore, we believe you need exposure to more asset classes. We think you need exposure to commodities. We think you need exposure to, like, oh, well, we own the S&P 500. It has commodities in it. Go look at the composition of the S&P 500. For instance, energy traditionally has an 11% weighting. It's down to 3.5%. Okay, you've got virtually no commodity exposure in the S&P 500. But we think you should have some real estate. We think you should have some gold. We think you should have some fixed indexed annuities to replace the bonds. We think you should have an algorithmically managed portfolio. We think you should have a value portfolio on the stock side. Why? Because when you combine those together, we make a much less volatile portfolio that substantially outperforms the bond, traditional stock bond alternatives at a cheaper price. That's how simple it is. Why did we change that? Because the world changed. Think about that. You're sitting in a portfolio that is identical to the way it would have been in 2006. Does the world look like it did in 2006? No. And so why would your portfolio? It's crazy to me. Watching these people, literally, having one of these portfolios today, paying what you're paying, doing that whole thing, it'd be like going out on a first date with somebody, you know, showing up, you know, they're dressed to the nines, you're going out somewhere fancy, and you show up in bell-bottom jeans and high-platform shoes that have a little goldfish in the heel. Yeah, it was popular and it worked well at one point, but it doesn't today. And it's abundantly clear to everybody in the fashion world. Well, flip over and apply that same logic to finance. You're in your 60-40 portfolio. You pulled up to your first date, hopped out of your Trans Am and your bell-bottom jeans, and you were surprised when the person gave you a weird look and didn't want to go on a second date. That's the equivalent of it. And again, it's not nefarious. These guys aren't trying to screw you. They're not trying to put you in a bad investment. It's just what they know. And they get paid to gather up assets. That's their job. It's not to manage money. And the banks are buying it. Their job is not to give you a great return. Their job is to sell stocks and bonds. So don't be surprised when you don't get the best stuff. Well, Zach, if those annuities are better than bonds, then why isn't my guy at Morgan Stanley tell me that? Because it's not what he sells. I've said this jokingly before, but it literally, walking in to one of those investment firms and wondering why you don't have the best portfolio is literally like walking into Home Depot and being mad that they don't have good Chinese food. It's not what they sell. And you're not mad at Home Depot for it. You don't call Home Depot corrupt, which I hear a lot of people. I'm not a fan of the big banks because of their, you know, the incestuous nature of them and the federal government and the Federal Reserve. But as it relates to the advisory side, these guys aren't bad guys. I worked at these firms. The managing directors of their advisory businesses aren't bad guys. They're not trying to screw people. Not at all. They're just doing their job. They were hired by those companies to sell portfolios of stocks and bonds. That's what they do. So don't be mad at them for it. They don't have to be evil. That's just kind of a hallmark of the day that we're living in, right? It's everything has to be 100% one way or 100% the other way. It's like, I think most adults can sit back and go, hey, there's nuance here. These aren't bad people. Their job is not to give us the best outcome. Their job is to sell us that. My job as an independent fiduciary is to give my clients the best risk-adjusted returns. That's my job, regardless of where that comes from. If that means investing in private companies, if that means investing in property, if that means investing in commodities or annuities or real estate or stocks, whatever that is, it doesn't matter to me. Because my job is to give you the best risk-adjusted returns, to help you finance the rest of your life and avoid a financial pitfall. And if that sounds interesting to you, which it should, Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Do not go to the first date in bell bottoms with platform shoes with the goldfish. Don't drive your Trans Am to the first date. And more importantly, if you do, do not be surprised when they don't want to date you again. Okay, don't be that guy. Call us. We'll get you in a good-looking suit. We'll trade in that Trans Am for an Audi. We'll make sure that they want to go on a second date with you. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Follow me at Twitter, at KYR Radio. Again, we've got the deep dive special with Brent Johnson today. You don't want to miss that, but it's not going to be on the show. You got to get the podcast. Download and subscribe that podcast at knowyourriskradio.com or just Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You won't want to miss this one. It's huge. Anyway, we're out of time. We got to run. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. And it's almost football season, baby. It's coming. Go Hawks, go Dogs, go M's. You guys know the deal. All right, we'll be back next week. Talk to the end. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds, because I can promise you, if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement with the firm's licensed stock business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.